Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right. It's Freedom Friday once again. And I am just grateful that we finally made it to the end of the week. This week we are in John chapter 4. We have a lot of reading to do. So we're going to get right into the word this morning. Again, John 4, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you that we can come to you, O Lord, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, Father God, and we just thank you for waking us up this morning, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, speak to our hearts today, let it be you and not me, Father God, and I just thank you in advance, in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen, amen. All right, stretch if you need to this morning. Here we go, John chapter 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees have heard that Jesus baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, for he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. For his disciples have gone away to the city to buy food. 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. 10. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God, and who is he that says to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? 13. Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, for whoever drinks of the water which I will give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. 15. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have said it, you have no husband. 18, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, that you spoke truly. 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. 22, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speaks to you am he. One said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see the men who told me all things that I ever did. Come, this must be the Christ. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and that he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap for what which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, and he told me all that I have ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him and they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 43. Now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus came out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implore him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. 48. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my son dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed and the words that Jesus had spoken to him. And when he went away, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And when he said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. As he himself believed in his words, his whole household. Then again, in the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Ooh, that's a lot of reading. That's a lot of reading. I'm tired already. I need a nap now. You know, it's a lot of word this morning, And of course, I just got to get a couple of points across to you of the Word of God. Is, you know, it is believed that the author of John, of course, is John, the son of Zebedee. You know, the purpose of this particular book is, you know, he talks a lot about evangelistic purpose of seeking to reach unbelievers. So it's about teaching the Word of God. And the points that I want to touch in this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about this Samaritan woman. In verse 4, he says, "But he needed to go to Samaria." Jesus needed to go to Samaria. So that indicates that this was a setup by God. This is an appointed time by God, because it says that he needed to go to Samaria. And in verse 5, it says, "And when he came into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot ground of Jacob, of his son Joseph." Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, you know, that takes us to the point that Jesus was human. Jesus had feelings. Jesus went through a lot. He was tired, you know, from his journey. So he sat by the well. You know, if this was about the sixth hour, you know. So again, Jesus understands us. He has gone through things, and I love it when it points out to the humanity of Jesus and what he went through. And it says in verse 7, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me to drink.'" For his disciples already in verse 8, you know, they went into the city to get some food. Now, why did this particular woman chose the noontime to go get water? To, you know, the noontime, you know, it is believed, you know, because she was probably trying to avoid running into people because of her lifestyle, because she didn't have the best lifestyle that there was. So it is believed that, you know, because of her social shame, you know, and who she was, she went out at that time. And at that time, let me tell you, it is the hottest time of the day. It is the hottest time in the day. You know, I've been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan. I've been, but it was very hot in the middle of the day. Noontime, you know, that temperature about 120 is the degree. You know, so when it gets that hot, you don't normally find people out there. When I used to have to leave my barracks to go do something at that time of the day, I walked fast because that heat was so dry and everything. So, you know, so when I read this and I think about the heat of the day, and this woman is coming out, because normally they will go out, you know, early in the morning, you know, or later on in the afternoon where the temperature has dropped a little bit. But here she comes. And in verse 9, it says, "And then the woman of Samaria said to him," you know, "how is it that you, being a Jew, you ask a Samaritan woman?" So, you know, she's questioning, you know, how come you're asking me? How come you're asking me, a Samaritan? Because Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. You know, they don't get along. And there was a couple of differences between them and their culture and their religious differences. You know, Samaritans only recognized the first five books, you know, of the Hebrew Bible, while Jews recognized the whole Hebrew Bible. That's one of the differences. You know, the Samaritans opposed the Jewish restoration of the temple, you know, so they stood against that. They opposed the restoration of the temple. Jews also consider Samaritans half-breeds because they had intermarital with foreign nations. So they marry anybody. So they had a lot of differences. And therefore, because of all these differences, they stood away from each other. They didn't approach one another. And here we have Jesus, you know, he had to go there, you know, in the beginning. He had to go there for a mission. There was purpose behind it. There was purpose behind why he went there. And in verse 10, it says, "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you only knew the gift of God, who is he who says to you, "Give me to drink," you will ask him for living water.'" You know, water is something that we all need. We can live without food for a while, but without water, we cannot live. So we need water to live, to sustain us, you know. And here the Lord is talking about living water, spiritual water. But he was making the emphasis to the woman, you know, give me to drink. And if you knew who was asking, you would ask for this living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. So Jesus is by the well. You know, you're not going to go by that well and not bring a bucket, you know, and not and something to drink, because you have to put it on a rope, you know, and you have to lower it down into the well and you have to bring it up. It took work. And Jesus didn't have none of this. So, you know, the woman said to him, you know, you have nothing to draw water with, you know. And in verse 12, he says, are you greater than your father Jacob? So she's questioning, that you say these and that you drink from it yourself as his sons, Jacob's sons, drank from this water. So she's questioning it because I guess Jesus didn't have it. Jesus answers and said to her, who even drinks of this water would thirst again. So now he's making the emphasis. You're going to drink of this water, you would thirst again. Normal drinking is natural for all of us to stay alive. But what Jesus is trying to bring the point, it was about spiritual water. And in verse 14, it says, for whoever drinks of the water that I have given him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become to him like a fountain of water springing up. You know, so here I just want to pause here for a little bit because my time is running fast. But you know, I want to talk a little bit about this water. And Isaiah 44:3 says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. The Lord is saying that he will pour water on him who is thirsty. Are you thirsty this morning? Have you been going through a desert time in your life? You know, is your ground dry like the desert ground sometimes it gets, you know, that the ground actually cracks? Like, you know, they talk about the Sahara Desert that we have here. You know, and that desert cracks, you know, when it, because it's so dry, you know. But God is saying to us, you know, that, you know, to get ready, because he has taken this, and he's about to restore a lot to us. Not only will you receive refreshing, but you and your family. So God is telling us, you know, here in this particular verse, you know, that I will pour water on him who is thirsty. The dry ground, which is around us sometimes, you know, that we see around us, that the difficulties that we go through in life, you know, but he's saying, I will pour my spirit on your descendants. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing to read that he's gonna pour a blessing on my descendants, but on top of that, on my offspring. That means my children, my children's children. A time of refreshing, and that is God's promise to us. He says, for I will pour water. It says there, Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water. I'm ready for that water. I'm ready. You know, after last week, after all that I went through last week between my wife getting admitted and my daughter having a car accident, you know, between all that, sometimes, you know, you look at it, I look at it, and I say, wow, you know, wow. I feel like I'm in a dry place. I feel like that I've been through the ringer, you know, but I have to believe and I have to trust God. And it's verses like this that lift up my spirit, because he says, I will pour water. You know, when you're out there and you're working and you're hot and you drink some water, that's a time of refreshing. But it's the same thing in the spirit. God wants to refresh us. God wants to renew us. God wants to fill us with his presence. God wants to turn things around on our behalf, you know. And that's why I got stuck on this water and it's dry ground, because, you know, at one point or another, we all go through dry places. We all go to dry ground. And sometimes, you know, when we go through the difficult times, you know, we can question. We can question, you know, what's going on. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? But, you know, at the end of the day, God is still faithful. God is still in control. And God is calling us. And God is calling us. So I take all this for myself because, you know, God is refreshing. God is restoring. And God is helping. Things are not great 100% yet, but you learn to praise and worship the Lord in the middle of the situation, in the middle of this dry times. We need to praise God. You know, Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, we will serve the Lord. This blessing that is talking about here on the offspring, you know, it's a blessing for my children and my children's children. You know, this particular week, you know, just the other day, I spent almost a whole day with my daughter, the one who had the accident, and she needed to get a car, and things didn't look good. Things didn't look good, you know, because of past mistakes. You know, her credit was not good, and this and that, and you know what? When you go to these places, you know, you can spend hours in there, trying to figure it all out. But yet, I was very patient. They always tell me that I have a lot of patience, but I was there and I was saying, Lord, you know, I'm here, but Lord, you have to do something. You have to move numbers around. You have to, because she needs a vehicle, you know. And when you're there and you want to support her and you want to be there for your children as we all parents are, sometimes it's hard because sometimes you may not have it all. You may not have what they need at the moment. But guess who does? Jesus. The Lord has what they need. And I've been praying for her. And I said, Lord God, give her favor, give her grace. As parents, as we do, you know, and what seemed impossible, because I was ready to walk out of there one moment. I said, okay. And I told her, you know, if things don't look good, we're just going to have to go and try something else. And guess what? At the last moment, you know, we got word, hey, we can do this for her, you know. So here as a parent that I wanted her to be established, to get herself together, you know, and to get this vehicle, guess what? They were able to help her. And guess what? She drove home in her vehicle that night, you know. And you know, for you there, it may not mean nothing. But for me as a parent and for me as a parent, seeing who she is and what she has and what she doesn't have, and to see God's giving her grace, you know, hey, she walked away from the accident. You know, that's a plus. That's a plus. You know, the car was total, but she walked away. That's a, you know, so even though it was a negative, that was my car. That was my car. You know, and I can laugh about it today. Why? Because, you know, the Lord, you know, has blessed me. The Lord has blessed me. You know, material things can be replaced, but life can never be replaced. But God, you know, was showing her his mercy so that she can turn and she can see the grace of God and she can do what she needs to do to serve the Lord. You know, so we're just planting the seed, you know, and I'm there and I'm supporting her. But guess what? God was doing it all, because in the physical realm, you know, I didn't have what she needed, but God did. And God made a way. And she drove home that night. And with tears in her eyes, she would say, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You know what? It might not mean a lot to some people, but for her at the moment, she's seeing the hand of God, you know, on her favor, because she heard what man said. Man said it doesn't look good. Man said this is not going to happen. But guess what? At the end of the day, by prayer and supplications, God hears us. God hears us, and God gave her favor. And just like this verse in Isaiah 44:3 says, you know, this is my blessing on your offspring. Come on now. You know, we've been praying for our children, for our children's children, and, you know, for the future, for our family. And we may feel like we've been going through a dry place, like I was last week at this particular time, you know, going through a lot of stuff, you know, and things are little by little, you know, little by little are getting there. But we need to make sure that we go to the Lord. And when we go to the Lord, he restores, he refreshes us. You know, he renews our strength. He renews our faith. That's why we need to come to him, you know, and just praise him. We need to come to him and just worship him. We need to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't comprehend. But, you know, what the Lord did, you know, and through this situation is just a time of refreshing. Just like this Samaritan woman, you know, she went to the well, you know, her day changed because she went to the well, and guess who she ran into? She ran into the Messiah. She ran into the answer that she was looking for. And he told her history. He told her who she was. He told her, no, you know, you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now, that's not even yours. So he was able to reveal her history. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. Nothing surprises him. But he told her her history. And then he told her, you know, that if you knew who he was that was speaking to you, he will give you living water. I believe that this time of our lives, you know, God is saying to us, it is time to be refreshed. It is time to be renewed. It is time for us to draw from the well. It is time for us to believe the word of God. Because if you believe the Lord, then this particular Isaiah 44:3, I'm going to bring it up again. It says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty, who is not thirsty this morning, who's not going through a crisis this morning. You know, it says, and at the thirsty and floods on the dry ground. That means he's going to consume the hardness around you. He's going to consume what's around you, the hardness, the denials, all the negative stuff. God's saying that he's going to flood them with water, flood them, you know. And then on top of that, that he's going to make that ground pliable. He says, I will pour my spirit on your descendants. Hallelujah. Pour my spirit. That's enough to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because you have poured your spirit upon us. Your spirit. And when we get filled with his presence, you know, with his anointing, that becomes overflow. That becomes like an overflow. And that's what he's saying here, that I will pour my spirit on your descendants, on your family, on those who have gone astray. God is saying that I am going to bring them back. I am going to restore. I am going to make a way for them. And not only on them, but also on our offspring and our family, our immediate kids. And when I think about that, I say, that's my Isaiah, you know, that's my Alexandra. Those are my grandkids. But not only on them, but upon their children. If God doesn't come, you know, at this sooner or later, but upon them. That is a promise. That is a blessing that we have. So I just want to remind you who you are in Christ. You know, you are more than an overcomer. You are in Christ Jesus. And God has made a provision in his word that Jesus himself had to go to Samaria. Well, guess what? Jesus himself had to come to you and speak to you and tell you, I love you. Jesus this morning is telling us all, you know, I have made a way for you in the middle of the desert. I have made a way for you, even in that dry place that you are in right now. And God is saying, I am restoring, I am refreshing you with my presence. Hallelujah. With his grace, with his mercy, he is refreshing us this morning and telling us it's going to get better. I can testify about that. I've been between 1 week and the following week, I can testify about that. With all the hoodlums, you know what it has to do with insurances and everything else, because the car and this and that, and who was at fault and who wasn't at fault and who did what, with all of this stuff, God says, okay, relax. Breathe in, breathe out, Like I always say, refocus and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show me? I learned a lot in that week. I learned a lot in that week. And I'm an old guy, okay? You could tell by all the stuff that I have lost in my day, you know? I see you, Doug. I see you too, man. Yeah, I don't got a cap on this morning, but God, despite what we go through, God is in control and God is by your side and God is telling you, I have you. I have you. I have you. I have you in the middle of this. I cry when I looked at my daughter and I saw the tears coming down her face. And she says, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And I say, that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. And he answers prayers. He answers prayers. And God is answering your prayers this morning. Why? Because he has given you his word. And his word says that I'm refreshing you. Come on now. Praise him for the refreshing. Praise him for what he's about to do. Because greater things than what we are thinking of, he's about to do in your home, in your family, in your marriages, in your children, in your children's children. Because that's the awesome God that we serve, that he's making a way. And you know what? He is making a way for you. He's making a way for me. And things may not seem that way right now, but guess what? You have to believe. You have to believe. You have to trust him and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And if you have made a mistake, ask for forgiveness. Come on now. I ask for forgiveness all the time. I'm not perfect. I mess up sometimes. But I go to him and I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that way. Forgive me, Lord, for saying that. Forgive me, Lord. And just, you know, reconfirm my commitment and say, Lord, forgive me and help me. And guess what? He does. He does. He makes a way. And if he made a way for us, he made a way for my daughter. He's blessing us. He's taking care of my wife. You know, he's taking care of my home. He's doing all these beautiful things. Why? Because he loves us. Because Jesus, you know, he went a certain direction because he had to go in that direction. He had to go to Samaria. He had a mission. Well, he has a mission for you too. He has a mission for you to do. And he's calling you. And he said, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. I'm about to pour on a blessing up on you that you cannot retain, that you cannot maintain to yourself. A blessing that's going to be so overwhelming that some of you are going to fall on your knees. Come on now. You got to believe. You got to believe. And you got to say, okay, Lord, whatever you have, Father, I'm going to trust you. Whatever I got to go through, I'm going to trust you. I mean, I understand it. Been there. I don't like it. Been there, you know, but God is still in control and he's making a way and he's making a way and his promises are yes and amen. His promises are yes and amen. So come on this particular week, you know, do what you have to do, but I'm going to challenge you just to get in a little bit deeper and say, Lord, I praise you. I want to thank you for all these things, Lord. And that's what I did. I said, Lord, I thank you because you have maintained us. You have kept us. You have delivered us. You have given us strength. You have made a way. Even though things will seem impossible and things don't look good, but Lord, I don't believe in what I'm seeing. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in your word. I'm going to trust in your promises. I'm going to trust as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, my children are going to serve you. My children's children are going to serve you. My marriage is safe. You know, my family members are safe. I thank you, Lord, for a good job. I thank you, Lord, for making the provisions for all the things that we have to ask him for. Just be grateful because he's making a way, because he goes out of his way just to meet our needs. He goes out of his way just to bless you. Come on now. He's like saying, Nicole, you may not believe this,
but I'm right here by your side. And I got you by the hand. And I'm saying, you got this, girl. You got this. June, you're one of the quietest ones there, June. And God is telling you, I love you. I have you. You are mine. Look at that smile. Come on now. See, you know, when we talk about the Lord and we talk about his blessings, oh, I get excited. See, you got to calm me down now. And I talk about the Lord and talk about his promises and talk about who he is. You know, it just excites us. It just gives us more motivation just to praise him, just to worship him, and just to glorify him, because he is working it out. He is working it out for you. He is working it out for me. Just like the Samaritan woman, that he had to go through this particular town. And guess what? People believe. He went to one. She went and spoke about the Lord. And guess what? The townspeople came out. And once they heard Jesus, they believe. So God is about to create some miracles in your life. God is about to make a dry place in your life. It's going to change from that, and he's going to have rivers of living water. Jesus says, rivers of living water will flow. Rivers of living water will flow through you and through your family members. You are the one that God is calling out to speak his word, to share his word, to testify what he has done. And we need to do that. So this particular weekend, when you get together, let's testify about what God has done. Let's testify that he woke us up this morning and I was able to say, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you woke me up, Father God. You shook me out of my bed, and I was able to raise my hands and worship you and praise you in the midst of whatever I am going through. But God is faithful, and he was faithful to his word, and he came through and made a way. And he made a way for me, and he's making a way for you. So get ready for your miracle. It's right around the corner, because God is faithful. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you, Robo Shanda. I just worship you, Loboshe. I just thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, Father. Father, I declare and I decree it over your children, Father, your blessings, my Lord God. I pray for healing and I pray for restoration, Father. I pray, Father God, that you would touch their children and their children's children, Father, their wives and their husbands, Father. I pray that you will give them favor and grace in their workplace, Father God, that you will open up doors, my Lord God, that have been closed, Father, and close doors that need to be closed, Father God. I pray that you would just make a way for them, Father, and that you, Father, in a mighty way, my Lord God, that they will be able to see you at work, Father, because you work in the quiet places. And sometimes we don't see it right away, but you are working right around the corner, my Lord God. And by the time I get to that corner, Father, the miracle is right there. So, Father, I just thank you for those miracles. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for this week, Father God. And I give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Show off, Father. Show off in a mighty way. Holy Spirit, just consume them with your presence. Embrace them in your anointing, Lord God. Let it be an overflow, Father God. Let it be such an overflow that it's tangible, Father God, that it will go from one person to the next person, Father God. I pray for that, Father God, upon your church and upon your people, upon our pastors and leaders, Father God, that you would just strengthen them, that you would just show them the way. And we thank you. We thank you. Thank you in advance. Thank you in advance, Father God, for all that you're doing. And we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I pray that you have a blessed weekend. Be expecting. I keep telling you that word, be expecting. If you don't expect nothing, nothing is going to happen. But when you get to church, be expecting a touch of God. Be expecting that God will speak to you that day. Come ready with thanksgiving in your heart and give him the praise and give him the glory and give him the honor. Because as you speak these words out, you're making way for the Spirit to move. And you don't know who you're going to touch. You don't know what words of encouragement you're going to receive or that you may be giving somebody else that needs it. So come on. I just want to challenge you to go out there. Trust God. Trust God in what he's doing. give him the praise and give him the glory. I think I spoke too much already. 38, I'm really behind the eight ball. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. I love you. Love you. Love you. Hug and kisses. Soon I'll be able to do that. In Jesus' name.